Shepard wasn't in the mess at breakfast time. He wasn't in the gate room or the armory or the gym. Rodney drew the line at checking the small but mostly empty room Shepard technically used as an office, but it chafed all morning, even as he and Raddick ran test after test on the prototype hyperdrive module in Lab 12. "This would work better," Raddick said, "if we actually installed it in a puddle dumper. This would have a much better idea of how the interface would work." "Hmm," Rodney said. He really hadn't been thinking of the tests they were running. "Really?" "Yes, yes, that's a good point. Why didn't I think of that?" "You're distracted this morning," Raddick said, pushing his glasses up on his nose. "Is something wrong?" "What? No, no, nothing's wrong. Let's head for the jumper bay." The module was nearly installed, filling up more than half the jumper's rear compartment, when he thought of it. A brilliant plan, really, given the limited means at his disposal. "Colonel Shepard," he said into his radio, "I need you in the main puddle jumper bay." "What now?" Shepard sounded like his usual annoyed self, and there was no reason why that should be surprising. No reason at all. "Well, yes, if you can make it, I mean. It's not crucial, but Zelenka and I need to run some tests, and we could use her assistance." "All right, I'll be there in a few." Rodney left Zelenka to make the last few connections and went to meet Shepard outside the jumper. Shepard looked good. Better than he'd looked in weeks, actually. Good enough that Rodney really wanted to kiss him, and, God, he hadn't just thought that, had he? "Hi," Rodney said. Shepard narrowed his eyes. "What kind of test do you need me to do?" "We need to talk," Rodney said. "Oh." Shepard's chin came up, and maybe his face flushed a little, too, but it was kind of hard to tell. "Look, Rodney, I'm working on it, okay? Thanks for what you did last night. It was really helpful, and I think I might be getting to the point where I won't need it again, okay? So you don't have to worry about it." "Oh, I see," Rodney managed. "But that was good, really. Of course it was good, because if it didn't happen again, he didn't have to worry about what he was going to say and how he was going to feel, and... Oh, God, but that would mean it would never happen again, and he..." "Rodney, what is taking so long?" Raddick's voice called out from inside the jumper. "Oh, right, the cover story. I'm just explaining to Colonel Shepard what tests we need him to run." Shepard lifted an eyebrow at him as Raddick spoke again. "I do not understand why you have to involve Colonel Shepard. You have the gene. You could do it yourself." Rodney rolled his eyes. Not that anyone but Shepard could see him. He's a pilot. If anyone can run a thorough systems check, it's him. "Fine, fine," Raddick said. "Can we get on with it now?" "Getting on," Rodney retorted, and gestured Shepard toward the jumper's hatch. "Thanks for the make-work, Rodney," Shepard said. "It's not make-work. You're the best man for the job." Rodney followed him inside, only to be brought up short when Shepard stopped to take a look at the drive module. "That's a hyperdrive?" Shepard tilted his head like that might make it look more impressive. "Seriously?" "It was assembled from materials at hand," Rodney grumbled. "It's not supposed to look pretty." Shepard crossed his arms over his chest. "Does it work?" "That's what you're here to tell me, remember?" That got a half smile. "Right," Shepard said, and made his way to the pilot seat. Rodney dropped into the co-pilot's chair while Shepard brought up the HUD. "See if you can get the hyperdrive to respond to the jumper's controls," Rodney said, "and tell me whatever you can about how it interfaces with the jumper's navigation system." Shepard was already scrolling through the displays faster than Rodney could follow, muttering something that sounded like sweet. And it was silly to be warmed by that. Rodney certainly hadn't built the hyperdrive to impress anyone, least of all Shepard. But he was still pathetically happy to see that Shepard was excited about it. In minutes, Shepard produced a schematic representation of everything he and Raddick had missed, and, okay, it was a little more extensive than Rodney had expected, but, hey, at least it meant that they had figured it all out before they tried to fire the thing up. Rodney uploaded it to his laptop and looked up to find Shepard on his feet, with his hands in his pockets, his expression unreadable. "You need anything else?" "Yes," Rodney wanted to say, which was crazy and wrong and totally not true. "No, thanks. I think we're good here. You just saved us a couple hours of work." "Glad I could help," Shepard said. "See you later, McKay." And he headed out without so much as a backwards glance, like they hadn't spent an hour last night having kinky, sweaty, incredible sex. Rodney pinched the bridge of his nose, the hyperdrive module. He had to think of the hyperdrive module. "Rodney," Raddick said from the back of the jumper. "Yes, yes, I'll be right there." Rodney took a deep breath and went to join him, marshaling every ounce of concentration that he had so he could start thinking of the project at hand and stop thinking of Shepard. Naked, blindfolded, panting, Shepard. Oh God, he was never, ever going to be able to concentrate again.